Okay, we are now on Daf Chak Dalet Amud Beis. Right, the last thing that we discussed was after an really extensive discussion about whether or not, about whether the reason you shouldn't, that an animal should not be used as the wall of a sukkah is because, it's because you're afraid the animal will run away, or because you're afraid the animal will just drop dead. We then said, no, maybe really Rabbi Meir's reasoning is that an animal is inherently not a wall, either because it is supported by air, meaning that it is supported by the animal's breath, right? It is kept standing by the animal's breath, or alternatively, because it is just not a wall. Like, sort of fundamentally, this is something which is not useful as a wall. Right? And we suggest that perhaps there are enough commitments between that approach. Yeah. Now, the top stuff that I don't base, Amar Amar Mishum Rabbi Yossi Aguli, Amro. So, they said in the name of Rabbi Yossi Aguli, Af Ein Kosvin Alav Gite Nashim. So we also don't write, if a man needs to divorce his wife, then you cannot write that on the animal. My time at the Rabbi Yossi Aguli, what's the reason for that? The Sanya Sefer, Ein Liela Sefer. So you should write in a Sefer. What's a Sefer? So it translates as a book. Remember, a book is not what we call a book. We call a book, we call a book something which is actually called a codex. Meaning what? Is a series of pages which are then bound together. That is called a codex. Right? A book is just a collection of words. In those days, a book meant a scroll. Right? So, sometimes you'll see that old books of philosophy, politics, are divided up into books, right? The Ethics of Aristotle, I believe, is divided up in 12 books. Why? Because it was written as 12 scrolls. Or, by the way, an example you're probably more familiar with, the five Sifrei Chamishah, the five books of Chumash. Why? They were, envisaged as five separate scrolls. We, for reasons of Kavod HaTorah, tend to write them all in one book, in one scroll. But they're really five separate books, right? They can be written, Bekashrus, as five separate scrolls. So it says, Sefer Ein Liela Sefer. If you write on a Sefer, you write it as a scroll. I only know that you can write on a scroll. Minayin Lila is called Davar, Talmud Leimar Vechasav Lach Mikol Makayim. So, how do you know that you can really write a get on absolutely anything? Right? All the Pasuk really mentioned is writing a Sefer, which means a scroll for our purposes, right? How do you know you can write on anything? It says, V'chasav lachmi kol makayim. That comes to include absolutely anything. Him gain Talmud Leimar, ma Talmud Leimar Sefer. If that's true, then why the Torah say you should write it on a Sefer? And why is the Torah then said write it on a scroll? If you really can write on anything. Lumar lach, to tell you, ma sefer davar shein beruach chaim ve'einoi oichel, af kol davar shein beruach chaim ve'einoi oichel. So, to tell you, that just as a sefer, just as a scroll, is something which is not alive, right, and does not breathe, so too, you may write a get on something which is not alive, not alive and doesn't eat, so too, you can write a get on something which, on anything which is not alive, shein beruach chaim, doesn't breathe, and doesn't eat. So, Virabanan. And so in that case, why do Rabbanan not accept this reasoning of Rabbi Yossi? Ikasa b'sefer kedekamras hashtichsiv sefer litzviras dvarim be'alma hu de'asa. Right? Since the Rabbanan say basically is related to what I was just talking about. Rabbi Yossi Aguli, if it had said Beis Sefer, if it had written it in a Sefer, then the reasonable read for the word Sefer here would have been Klaf, it would have been a scroll. Right? But since it just said you write a Sefer, Vechasabla Sefer Karisus, you write a Sefer, so what does that? It means Sipur Dvarim. It means just the words, right? Meaning you have to write out the words. You have to write out what you're doing. You have to write that the woman is divorced. If that's so, you don't need V'chasavla to tell you can write it on absolutely anything, because you have no reason to think you couldn't write it on absolutely anything. What's left is, well, you could in fact write it on absolutely anything, and that would be kosher, including an animal. And then it says, V'rabbanan hai v'chasav mai darshi bei. If that's true, if they don't need, if they don't learn the sefer as indicating a scroll, then they don't need v'chasav loch to tell you can then write on anything. So why is it that you need v'chasav loch as well? Hahumi baile b'chziv mikzoreshes v'ena mikzoreshes b'kesef. We need that because a woman gets divorced through the written word and does not get divorced through money. Meaning, we have droshos, we have two droshos, l'chora, at the beginning of Kiddushin, to teach us that a woman can be married through money, right? The first drosha is ki kash kishika uva'ala, right? If a man takes a woman, right, marries a woman, uvala, and he, you know, sleeps with her, right? So ki kach there, what does that mean? What does ki kach mean? The Gemara says, nasati kesev, the Avraham Avinu says to Chetzron, right, nasati kesev asdek kach, meaning I gave you the money for the field, take it from me. And it says, and then it brings a pasuk from Yirmiyahu when it's talking about the fact that Yirmiyahu sends Baruch to buy a field in Anasos to act that insert a deed of sale which will be drawn up, which will then act as proof forever after that the Jews lived in the land of Israel in the time of Bayashini, something which is now in dispute. So it's a good thing we actually did find this scroll, and it is acting as proof that in the time of Bayashini, Jews in fact did live in Eretz Yisrael. Now that Palestinians are in fact disputing that, we can say no, we have historical proof of that because that deed of sale has in fact been found, right? So v'chasav lo, so sadeis bekesef yikanu, fields are bought with money, therefore we know that Avraham Avinu gave Chetzron Achiti money for the field, and therefore we know that you can marry a woman with money. The second drasha is, right, that when a man from an Amma Avriya, right, that when Amma Avriya leaves her master because she has grown out of the, grown out of the age of slavery, meaning she has reached 12, right? The Yatzachinam, Ein Kasef, she can go free, Ein Kasef, there is no money, right? Ein Kasef, the Gemara, Russians, the Gemara Dashans, Ein Kesef L'Adon Zeh, there's no money for this master. Yesh Kesef L'Adon Acher. Umanuav, who's this? There is money for another master. Who's that master? Her father. Meaning, when her father marries her off, he does get money for that. When she leaves one master, she doesn't get money. When she leaves her master, who is her slave master, she doesn't get money. When she leaves her master, who is her father, right, then her father does, in fact, get money for that. He gets the Kesef Kiddushin. So one of those two drashos is the source or for Kesef Kiddushin, for the fact that you can get married using money. We then need to learn, there is a Shekesh, right? Right? A woman who is married, who is divorced in she will go out. She left his house. She'll marry another man. Right. So Mekish Habayalisiyo, it compares getting married to getting divorced. So the Gemara Darshan for that just says you can get divorced with text, right? You get divorced through a get, which is text. So you can get married through text. The Gemara then thinks, well, maybe just as you can get married through money, you can get divorced through money. Why doesn't it work for the other ways of getting married? So it says, that teaches us this vechasavla teaches us that the only way the hekesh, the comparison between divorce and getting married, does not work in both directions. It only works teaches that you can get married through text, just like you can get divorced through text. It doesn't teach us that you can get divorced through money, just like you can get married through money, right? So I mean, what would you have thought? I just explained it, right? Just that you have compared leaving one marriage to entering another marriage. Ha ma havaya because just that you can marry, get money after you see because if you can you can get divorced with money. Kol mash malan, we learn that it's not the case. You can in fact cannot get divorced through money. You can only get divorced through So too, you can only get divorced through text. It should be noted that the Mishnah and Kedushah does mention another way to leave a marriage if the husband dies, meaning that to a certain level, question of how much is this true is it's a bit of a question. But begadol, we do assume that the death of the husband does in fact dissolve the marriage. Right? There is, for example, a famous shayla in the Trumas Hadeshin, very late Ashkenazi Rishon. He asked, "What does Elio and Avi's wife need to get?" And the answer he gives, the tshuva is a little bit more complicated, but basically his answer is no, he's dead, and that dissolved the marriage in its entirety. She does not, in fact, need a get from him to get remarried. Okay, even though he didn't properly die, but the fact that he's no longer here dissolved the marriage, right? So he learns from that maybe death dissolves marriage just like a get does. Okay. Rabbi Yosi Aglili, hi, Svara Minale. If that's true, then why doesn't Rabbi Yosi Aglili, how does Rabbi Yosi Aglili know that you can only get divorced through text and you can't get divorced through money? Mi Sefer Karisus Nafgale, Sefer Karisa, Ve'en Davar Acher Karisa. So the Gemara says, no, he learns it from something else. Ve'chosavla, what does the Gemara say? Ve'chosavla, he will write for her, Sefer Karisus. We'll translate it like Rabbi Yosi Aglili does, right? A scroll which cuts them off, a scroll of cutting, right? So Sefer Karisa, the scroll cuts her off from him, and something else does not. Only a Sefer can do that. Only something which has text on it can do that. V'idach, what do Rabbanan use that? What do you Rabbanan use Sefer Karisa for? Ahumi vele ledorer hakoros beinoy levena. Okay, the Sanya harizik tekan nashalaisi shiyam and nashalaisi alchi leveis avich leilam ein zekarisa kol shalaisi shiyam ein zekarisa. Right. And how do Rabbanan know that? Sorry, what do Rabbanan do with Sefer Karisus? Since they don't need Sefer Karisus to teach us a halacha that you can only get married through a get through written text, you cannot get divorced through money. They don't need Sefer Karisus to teach us that because they learn it from Bechasavla. So, what in fact do they use Sefer Karisus for? They use it for Davar HaKoros Beinoy Levina. And the Gemara explains, what's Davar HaKoros Beinoy Levina? If you put a Tanai on a get, and that Tanai will be essentially forever, then that will not be a good get. So, for example, this is your get as long as you don't drink wine. This is your get as long as you don't visit your father's house forever. Such a Tanai, in fact, puzzles the get. The reason why is because it basically ties that woman to this man forever, right? It forever will give him some sort of hold in her, because if she were to drink wine, there's two ways of learning it. You'll say either if she were to drink wine or she would visit her father, she would then be married to him, or alternatively, she can't drink wine and she can't visit her father because of that, and therefore the connection between them is maintained. Whatever it might be, right? Whichever way you learn it, the important thing is that it does, in fact, leave some sort of either some sort of connection between them, or the possibility of the marriage being reconstituted. Such a tnai therefore nullifies the purpose of a get, which is to sever totally and completely the connection between them. Right? Since that is the case, the tnai passes the get. Right? Rabbanan learned that from Sefer Karisus. It has to be a Sefer Karisus. It has to be something which really cuts them off. And the next Vida, how does Rabbi Yosi Aglili know that that's true, since he uses Sefer Karisus to teach us that a Sefer Karisus, that only a book can get her divorced and not something else? Mikores Karisus Nafka Vida Kores Karisus Lo Darshi. Okay, he learns it from the fact that it wrote Karisus and not Kores. It should have written just Kores. Why it need to read Karisus with extra letters in it? To teach us two dinim. A, that only a get works to cut her off. And B, the get which does work to cut her off has to be something which cuts her off from him in its entirely, which does not leave any connection between them whatsoever, right? And Rabbanan don't think that you should darshan the difference between Karis and Karisus, meaning they don't think it should have said Sefer Karis, and since it said Sefer Karisus, we can then darshan two things. They think it said Sefer Karisus. It should not have said Sefer Karis. Okay. Tov. Right. Okay, so the Mishnah says, if you make a sukkoso bein eilonis veilonis dvanes la, kshira. Somebody who builds his sukkah among trees, and the trees act as walls for the sukkah, that's kosher, that's fine. The point that, the reason why it's distinct from the previous Mishnah is that in the previous Mishnah we talked about how the trees were acting as a support for the sukkah. Here the trees aren't acting as a support for the sukkah, they're just acting as the walls of the sukkah. Such a sukkah is kosher and can actually be used on Yom Tov, the implication is, right? Because it's not actually supported by a tree, the trees are just providing the walls. But the schach itself is not supported by the trees, it'll be supported by a frame or something. Tov. Gemara, wait, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, kol mechitza she'eina yechol la'amoid beruach metzuya, eina mechitza. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov said, any mechitza, any fence, which cannot stand in a regular breeze, it's not a real fence, it's not a real wall. Tanan. We have a Mishnah, our Mishnah, so oisus sukkosei bein oilanis veilonis dvanes la, kshera. Doesn't our Mishnah say that if you may use trees as walls for the sukkah is kosher, and don't trees blow in the wind? Meaning, it should be possible. Why is this a kosher sukkah? It doesn't actually make sense. That's the question, right? From this, by the way, you learn, what does it mean, eina ome beruach matsuya? It doesn't mean it's going to fall over. Right? It doesn't mean the wall is going to just collapse in a ruach matsuya. It means the wall is not going to be sufficiently stable. It means it's not going to be stock still, because we're saying the swaying of trees should count as Eina Omen Baruch Mitzuya. Say, don't they sway? Haka b'mayaskin, and what are we talking about? Bekashin. We're talking about trees that are very strong, right? They've got very strong trunks. They don't wave so much in the wind. Doesn't the tree have a canopy? Won't the canopy always move in the wind? The avid lay behoitza ve dafna. Basically, that means you tie up the canopy so it won't be moved by the wind. Right? You tie it up in such a way it won't be moved by the wind. In such a case, it is a kosher wall for the sukkah. Hachi, my lemme. If that were true, why do you need to say this at all? Isn't this obvious? Why do you need the Mishnah that says you can make a sukkah out of using trees as walls, right? You know that you can do it, right? You can. Everybody would have told you can tie up the branches in such a way they don't move at all. Mold the same. What have you thought? Nigzar dilma asi lashta mushi be'ilan kamashmal. You might have thought that if we hadn't done this, you might have built a sukkah. You might have come to use the sukkah. You might have come to sit on the roots or something if they were above the ground. Use them as a chair, and then that would be asur on Yom Tov, and therefore we should be gozer. You can't use this sukkah either on Yom Tov, even though you're not actually using the trees as supports. Kamashman, no, it's not such a problem, right? We're not concerned that this will happen. Tashma, we have a brisa. Hiya sham ilana geder. Hash raya sham ilana geder. I bechit is a kind of nidan mishum de yumed. So, if there were in the Pasi Birois, right? We're going back to Erevin, right? If there were. If there was a tree at the one, remember the way we discussed the Pasuk Birois is, let's say you have a square, right? So you'll have at each corner a fence that goes one amma in each direction, right? That fence, even if it doesn't extend further, will be views extending to the next corner to form a fence around the well such that you can take water out of the well to give it to your animals on Shabbat. Right? That's if you're outside the city, around the well. That's the dinner of Pasi Birois. So if there is a tree, then you can use, and the tree is an armor by an armor, or there is a fence post, which is also an armor by an armor, then you can use it for this, you can use it as this corner, right? Even though it wasn't really made to it. It wasn't really made to him. It wasn't made for that purpose. Hasem Nami there too. Mishum de Aved Le Behutza Vedavna. Same thing. Right? If it's going to be swaying too much in the wind, if that tree will be swaying too much in the wind, you cannot use it for that purposes. We're talking about a case where you really tied it down very strongly so that it wouldn't sway in the wind. Toshma, we have another brighter. Ilana Mitzachala Aretz. A tree which shades over the ground. Im Ein Nofer Gavoh Amen Aretz Shlisha Tvachim Metaltelin Tachtav. Amai Ha Ka'azel V'hasi Hasanani De Avid Lei Behoitza V'dafna. So, basically the case is as follows. You have a tree which has a very, very large canopy, and the canopy is so large it's not really supporting its own weight, and therefore eventually it droops down to the ground. If it droops to the point that it is within 3 tachim on the ground, then you can carry underneath the tree in its entirety, even the bit that's not drooped 3 tachim underneath the ground. The reason why is because the bit which is drooped to 3 tachim underneath the ground is envisioned that's forming a wall around the tree. Once you form the wall around the tree, so then you can carry in the space inside, because that's a rishus yachid min ha-Torah. Right? The Gemara says, but why? Isn't the same thing going to be true? Isn't it going to wave back and forth? Sometimes it'll be a little bit above 3 tvachim, sometimes it'll be a little bit below 3 tvachim. Right? It's not going to be a wall. Plus, anyway, the wall itself will move. Right? We're talking about the canopy of a tree. It's going to move. Canopies of trees always move in the wind, particularly one which is this poorly supported. It's going to move in the wind, in which case it's a ruya. In which case it's a mechitza she'eino ome beruach mitzuyah. It's a mechitza which doesn't stay still in the wind. That's not considered a wall, halachically, in which case it can't be viewed as separating the rishus yachid under the tree from the rishus rabim outside of the tree. It can't possibly be a valid wall. So it says, Hasam Nami, there too, David Lebe Hutzavadafna, there too, you've secured the leaves in such a fashion that they're not going to move it at all. Then already you can view this as a wall which is not moving in a wind, which is in a regular wind. E hachi nitaltel bechule. In that case, why? Why can't you carry things around anywhere under the tree? Right? Why are you restricted in the space to be in this place which is under 3 tvachim? So the answer that Gemara gave was Al Mama Rabbi Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua A Metalin Nataltilin Boy Ella Besa Saim Mishum Shehave Dira Shetashmishe Lavir Vechel Dira Shetashmishe Lavir A Metalin Boy Ella Sa Saim. So the point they're making is, no, the inakinami you can carry under all of it, unless the sukkah's leaves cover an area which is bigger than the chatzar mishkan, which is about beis ha'asayim, right? If the sukkah's leaves cover an area which is larger than the chatzar mishkan, then you can't carry under it midirabon, and it's a karmelis, right? Even though midorais, it's certainly not a shusarabim. Midirabon, it's a karmelis, because it's what's called a dira, right? It's a dwelling, meaning it is not Rishus HaRabim, it's Rishus HaYachid, Shetash Mishaya La'avir, but it's really only used for the air within it. It doesn't have a purpose, it's not really used by anybody. A Dira, which isn't really used as a Dira, right, is not really a Dira at all, and therefore, you can only use it if it's up to a certain size. Beyond that, it is not considered a useful dwelling. Okay, so the Gemara will... I don't usually like to do this, but we'll continue because it's up to... the mission is very soon. Toshma, we have a Braisa. Shabbas Betel. Shil Gavoa Sara. Vehu Me'arba Beisad Beisa Sa'i. V'chein Benekev. Shil Omer Kasara. Vehu Me'arba Beisad Beisa Sa'i. V'chein Kama Katsura V'shiboilois. Mekifo Yisoyso Me'halech Eskula V'hoitz Kutala Alpayim Ama. Afal Gav Deka Azil V'asi. So, the Gemara said, if you... decide if you Shabbos started and you were on a hill, and a hill is 10 tefachim tall, and it's more than arba amos wide, it's less than a beis ha'asayim, it's less than the size of the chatzar mishkan, or right, it's there's a you're sitting in a hole, right, in a hole in the ground, which is more than 10 tefachim tall and more than 4 amos wide, but less than further than a beis ha'asayim than the size of the chatzar mishkan again, right, or you. Settle down the field, and there are bales of hay for bigger feds around the field, right? You can then use that place as, you can view that place as an eruv, right? You can carry within it, and you can walk outside of it for Alpayim Amah, because that's the place where you are for Shabbos. You don't have to, you're allowed to walk Alpayim Amah from the place where you started Shabbos. Now, if the place where you started Shabbos is a recognized dwelling place, the town, then you can walk Alpayim Amah outside of that town. You can walk 2,000 Amos outside of that town. 2,000 Amos is like 900 meters or something like that. Right. If alternatively the place where you are in can't be viewed as a dwelling, then already you can only walk 3,000 amos from where you started Shabbos, the actual point. Right, that's much smaller. So you can view this entire field as the place where you started Shabbos. It's an enclosed space. It says v'hakahakavazivlaasi. In the case of the bales of hay forming a fence, don't they move in the wind? Isn't that not going to be a good wall? So it says hasamnami there too. The avilei behutza v'dafna. You tied down the bales of hay in such a way that they can't really move. In such a case, they would form a valid fence. Okay. So Rav Moshe Feinstein said he pointed out an interesting thing in this Rashi. He says the implication of the Rashi is that even if the walls of the sukkah are tied in place, if they are being blown back and forth, they are not a real wall for the purpose of sukkah. Interestingly, he distinguishes between that and Shabbos, when lichora the Gemara implies that there is no distinction between the walls of sukkah and Shabbos. But anyway, he suggested that the reason that the shear is if it's being blown out to the point where it's forming a circle, right? It's forming a curved edge. You can no longer view this wall as a straight wall. That's the shear, right? He says that Bisvara, you'll distinguish between this and Shabbos. He says, a wall which is simply unstable on Shabbos is not a real wall. However, and he thinks that's what the Gemara is, that's how the Gemara, even though it's using the same phrasing and the same sort of thing, the same sort of descriptions for the walls of Sukkah and Shabbos, he thinks the distinction between walls of Shabbos and Sukkah is very sharp. On Shabbos, all you need is a wall, right? All you need is a partition. Right, and therefore, even if it does get blown around a little bit, it gets blown out to the point where it's circular, that's not a problem. For sukkah, that's no longer a dwelling. If your walls are that unsteady, they're no longer a dwelling. They might still be a wall, but what they are not is a dwelling. He thinks that on Shabbos, it has to be really unsteady. It has to be, like, swaying like there's no tomorrow, but if it's tied down at the top and bottom, even if it is getting blown out like a sail, it's becoming circular, that already would not be a problem. Also, parenthetically, and this is actually very, very, very important, right, that we're not talking about a wall which is currently being blown, right? That is not what we are told. That is not a real wall. We are talking about a wall which can move in a regular wind. Meaning, if there is no wind now, that does not make the wall automatically kosher. Right? What it means, the wall will still be possible if a wind were to, if it's the sort of wall that would move were a wind to come, even if there is currently no wind, the wall is a possible wall and the sukkah is a sukkah. Right? Different achronim bring riots for this, right? The Mishkanes Yaakov passes like this, the Shulchan Aruch Rav passes this, passes we pass in this way. Om Nam. Right? The Chazan Ish is the one who said that that is not the case. Right? The Chazan Ish said that no, when the Gemara says, we're talking about, and there is a wind. He disagrees. He says that there's only if there is actually a wind currently moving the sukkah. That means that if the sukkah is in a place where it is protected from the wind coming, right? And it has a mechitza which ain't no members baruch mitzvah. The walls are not capable of standing in even the weakest of winds. But there is literally no wind there because it's in a very very shaded place. It's in a very sheltered place, and there is just no wind where you are. Then already that would be a kosher. That would be a kosher sukkah. It would not be a problem. Beseder. It should be noted, I think the minhag olam on this one is to be machmir, that is, as I have mentioned before, the reason for the lovered strings. That is the reason for the lovered strings that go around the sides of the prefab sukkahs, because often the canvas in those sukkahs flaps. Parenthetically, it should also be noted that Rav Avadia also gave a shir to this. He didn't say like the, like Rav Moshe did it so that the wall can become circular. He said it has to be able to move 3 tefachim. So that's already a much bigger shear. Some prefab sukkahs, in fact, don't move that much, right? Even without the lavad strings. In that case, he would say you don't need the lavad strings, but fine. People have them anyway to be machmir. Okay. Chag Sameach.